18 months after Will Traynor's death, Louisa Clark exists in a gray limbo between living and merely surviving. Her days are spent serving overpriced drinks at an airport bar, forcing smiles that never reach her eyes. Her sterile London flat feels more like a hotel room than a home, bare walls, unopened moving boxes stacked in corners. Her once signature style, bright vintage dresses, rainbow-striped tights, whimsical accessories, has been replaced by muted colors and forgettable clothing. She's cut her long dark hair into a practical bob, systematically erasing every external marker of the person Will fell in love with. On a particularly dark night, after too many glasses of wine, Lou finds herself on her building's roof. The London skyline glitters indifferently as she walks along the parapet, her balance precarious, her words bitter as she addresses Will's ghost. When a voice suddenly pierces her solitude, the shock sends her tumbling, a physical manifestation of the emotional freefall she's been in since watching Will take his last breath. The aftermath is brutal, a shattered hip, broken ribs, a collarbone that will never quite sit right. Yet these injuries feel almost welcome, physical pain to match the emotional agony she's been carrying. The cruelest irony? Will's final wish for her, to live well, feels like an impossible demand. How does one build a future while constantly looking over their shoulder at the past? Lou reluctantly joins a grief support group called the Moving On Circle. The setting, a church hall with uncomfortable plastic chairs and stale biscuits, captures the awkwardness of forced healing. Here, Lou meets others processing their losses: Natasha, husband, cancer; Fred, wife; Sunil, twin brother; William, father; Daphne, husband, suicide; and Jake, a teenager who lost his mother. When her turn comes, Lou reveals the man she loved died 20 months ago, after less than 6 months together. The group is shocked to learn he planned his suicide and she knew about it. She even calls Will Bill, unable to fully claim her story. These sessions highlight our discomfort with grief. We expect it to follow predictable stages toward acceptance, but it's messy and non-linear. Lou admits feeling guilty for not stopping Will's death and for living a life less than the one I promised him. Through these meetings, Lou begins to reconnect. She meets Jake's Uncle Sam, the paramedic who rescued her after her fall. Their tentative connection offers Lou a glimpse of what moving forward might look like. One evening, Lou opens her door to find a teenage girl who introduces herself as Lily Houghton Miller, Will Traynor's daughter, a connection Lou never anticipated. 16-year-old Lily is spiky and restless, with Will's eyes and same inability to hide hurt. Her mother, Tanya, never told Will about her. Their relationship develops unevenly, with Lily being chaotic, drinking, smoking, and occasionally showing up drunk at Lou's door. Despite material privilege, she suffered emotional neglect. When Lou takes Lily to meet Will's father, Mr. Traynor immediately recognizes Will in her face and tearfully embraces his granddaughter. Through Lily, Lou begins to see Will more completely, not just as her lost love, but as someone with a complicated past and wider connections. This storyline forces Lou to engage differently with Will's legacy. In helping Lily connect with her father's memory, Lou fulfills her promise to Will in unexpected ways. Sam Fielding enters Lou's life as her rescuer, the paramedic who holds her hand after her fall. Their paths cross again at the Moving On Circle, where Sam brings his nephew Jake. Their connection develops slowly, with Lou resistant to anything that might lead to more pain. When Sam invites Lou to his home, a converted railway carriage on land where he's building his own house, we see a man who creates rather than destroys. "It's good for the soul building a house," he explains, especially after days treating stab wounds and domestic violence victims. This metaphor of building something new runs throughout their relationship. Their connection works because of Sam's patient persistence against Lou's emotional walls. He doesn't ask Lou to forget Will, but to make room for something new. Their relationship reaches a crisis when Sam confronts Lou about holding back. It's hard enough to be around someone who is still in love with a ghost without them also acting like they're just using you for sex. This confrontation forces Lou to examine whether she's truly living or merely existing. She realizes, I loved a man who opened up my world but didn't love me enough to stay in it, and now I'm afraid to love Sam in case it leads to more pain. The question becomes whether she's brave enough to risk loving again. When Lily disappears after a heated argument, Lou's 3-day search through London becomes transformative. She questions service workers while imagining Will's guidance about his headstrong daughter. Sam eventually finds Lily in a hospital waiting area. The truth emerges. Lily had been betrayed by someone who took compromising photographs and attempted blackmail. Lou and Sam use his police experience and her determination to track down the perpetrator without causing Lily additional trauma. This crisis forges an unexpected family unit between Lou, Lily, and Sam. When Lily later decides to return to boarding school and spend weekends with Will's mother, Lou automatically declines a job in New York, citing her responsibilities to Lily. Nathan's observation, "Only one person can give you a purpose," forces Lou to confront her pattern of defining herself through others' needs, suggesting that true purpose might come from pursuing her own dreams rather than just serving others. The novel concludes with Lou hosting a gathering on her transformed rooftop garden, the same roof she fell from. Once desolate concrete has become a vibrant sanctuary of flowers, symbolizing Lou's metamorphosis. The Moving On Circle members gather here, showcasing their collective healing. Will's mother, Camilla, attends, illustrating how relationships between those left behind can evolve into something healing. Lily has matured from an angry teenager into a more grounded young woman. Lily's gift to Lou, an Art Deco bracelet with beads reminiscent of Lou's bumblebee tights, represents Lou reclaiming her authentic style that grief had dimmed. As Lou prepares for her move to New York, the airport goodbyes are tender yet hopeful, with Sam's presence particularly meaningful. Their relationship has evolved into something neither expected but both treasure. The final scene balances forward movement while honoring the past. Lou's whispered, "I love you," carries the weight of all she's learned about love's many forms. She carries Will not as a burden, but as part of her foundation, having learned that living well means embracing life's full spectrum. Healing isn't about forgetting what we've lost, but building something new that honors it while making space for future joy. Lou's journey shows that second chances arrive in unexpected forms, and living well requires the courage to remain open to life's possibilities, especially when they scare us most.